One of the things I've been thinking about the last few days, actually several weeks, is if you look at the world around us, people are becoming more and more offended by various things. In fact, I saw a meme. I was almost tempted to put it up on there. Somebody wearing what would look like earrings, but they had little rolls of paper so they can easily have something to wipe their eyes with. You know, because people are so quick to be offended by things. In fact, it seems like today that if you're going to show somebody else love, at least in their view, it means never telling them that they're wrong or criticizing them in any way. You know, people claim to be offended if another person disagrees with them or points out a flaw in their behavior. You know, how many people you hear phrases like Islamophobe or homophobe, and it's just pointing out there's a problem here. And take a stance that goes against what another person pushes, well, that's declared to be hate speech. I heard rumors that, you know, California is playing with a law that would basically tell preachers what they can and can't preach on. Canada has already had one like that for a while. And you see this in society, and like many things that are in society, it tends to trickle into the church. And there seems to be an increasing intolerance of disagreements reaching into the church. If a strong sermon or a lesson is taught in a class, well, then some people take offense to that. I remember, this happened quite a few years ago, but I remember one young woman who was really upset with a lesson I presented on abortion. And she left. Never did get a chance. I tried to talk to her about it, but she just wasn't interested in it. If a preacher or a teacher points out that the lesson was biblical, then oftentimes the common response is, well, it wasn't taught in love. You have to teach the truth in love. And it's true. That's what is taught in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And in verse 15. It says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. So the church is to speak the truth in love, but what is love? We had a discussion this morning with the boys' class on a different track than that, but think about what exactly constitutes love. Does love mean that you never have your feelings hurt? Or you hear some people say, well, you can't judge. Does that mean you can't come to a conclusion? Such as concluding that I'm wrong for deciding that what you're doing is wrong. Now, the people who are yelling, you can't judge, are judging. What we forget in trying to protect our feelings is that there are souls that are at risk. Now, if you see someone about to pick up a pot that you know is scalding hot, what's the loving thing to do? Speak quietly because you don't want to offend them with the tone of your voice? Offer them encouraging words so you don't damage their self-esteem? Watch quietly because you don't want to judge them? Stand by and love them and hope that they stop before they hurt themselves? If you see somebody about to hurt themselves, that are in danger, I think all of us understand, you yell. You might say it very harshly, but you're worried about them. And it may seem silly, but this is the way too often we treat people who are in sin. Or we might see it as generically bad to be in sin. But a lot of times we don't accept the danger people are in by being in sin. Now try to talk about something as inappropriate in a social media post sometime. You see somebody put a post up and you think, well, that's not quite right. Try talking to them about it. And you'll find people get really upset. Well, I can put whatever I want up. No, you're a Christian. What we say matters. What we represent to the world matters. Try sometimes talking to somebody who's involved in a sin. And they get really offended that you are even talking to them. Because they don't want to think about the problems that they have. See, basically, the problem comes down to that people think and believe that speaking the truth is unloving. There's where the problem lies. We're supposed to speak the truth in love. But we have to speak the truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter, and I missed the passage here, but 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 6. Talking about love, it says, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. There's where love lies. Sometimes love requires saying the hard things. And if you're going to convert someone out of the world, you'll have to point out the sins of the world. I found a fascinating thing yesterday, and I put it on our website. The Pope has come out and basically said, you're not allowed to talk to somebody and tell them that their religion's wrong. And I thought, well, that's strange. That goes against Catholicism for centuries. But it goes totally against what the scriptures teach. If we're going to convince somebody that being worldly is wrong, we got to point out the danger. For instance, in Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 18. God says, when I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked man from his wicked way that he may live, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you have warned the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself. It is our duty when we know that someone is in danger, God expects us to say something. Otherwise, we're held accountable not for the sin, but for not giving the person a chance to change. In Isaiah chapter 58, Isaiah 58 and in verse 1. Cry aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet, and declare to my people their transgression, and to the house of Jacob their sins. Notice what Isaiah was told to do. Not just say, hey, you're wrong. He said, cry it out like a trumpet. You know, Isaiah probably would be unfriended in social media world today. Or blocked. Or banned for making it clear that sin is sin. Maybe there's another way to look at it. If your doctor is, you know, found out that you had cancer, is your doctor unkind and unloving and judgmental because he tells you that you have cancer? Now, it's something I don't want to hear. But you know, it's something I probably need to hear. Would you prefer to be not told the truth? Would that be kind? Would your doctor be more loving if he stayed quiet about it? And yet we live in a time when any negative word causes an outrage. In fact, it seems like some people, they go out of their way to create circumstances where they can be outraged. Now, there are times when gentle correction is needed. For instance, in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 1. It says, brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. When someone is caught up in sin, we ought to try our approach of gentleness. And Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2 and starting with verse 24, he said, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. These are things that we ought to do. But to say that this is the only way to approach the problem is to misunderstand the scriptures. I want you to think about the way Jesus handled problems. How did Jesus handle sins? A lot of times we can see the gentleness in which Jesus spoke to the woman when he was teaching the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Jesus handled that quite gently and pointed out that she was in sin. But there's other times that Jesus spoke quite strongly. For instance, when he was dealing with the stubborn Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew chapter 23, take a look at, starting with verse 13. We won't read the whole section, but just take a look at the way Jesus approaches it. He says, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people, and you do not enter yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you devour widows' houses, and for pretense you make long prayers. Therefore you receive a greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel around the world and land to make one proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. That's kind of strong. And it keeps going through the chapter. If Jesus pointed those posted those comments on Facebook, what do you think the reaction would have been? What you don't see is Jesus standing by and not saying anything. Sometimes he says it gently. Sometimes he says it strongly. But what you don't see him is not saying anything at all. And usually when I point this out, then people say, well, wait a minute, what about the adulterous woman that was brought to Jesus? And Jesus refused to judge her. It's a misunderstanding of that passage, but I want for a moment just take a look at John chapter 8 and in verse 10. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, woman, where are they? Didn't no one condemn you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, I do not condemn you either. Go, from now on, sin no more. Jesus didn't stop and say, I don't condemn you. He told her, stop sinning. You don't find Jesus not letting, or Jesus letting sins just slide by, not saying something. But he does take different approaches with different people. And Jude tells us basically why. In Jude, starting in verse 22. Jude, starting with verse 22, it says, have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some, have mercy with fear, hating even the garments polluted by the flesh. Different people need different approaches depending on the circumstances. How did Jesus treat it? When he already had a woman who was already repentant, who knew that they were in wrong, he took a gentle approach. When he was dealing with the Pharisees who thought they were right and couldn't see their own sins and were stubbornly refusing to see the truth, he came out real strong. Let's go back to that question, though. What is love? Well, God is love. In 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And the way to love God, it says in 1 John 5 and verse 3, is for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Jesus also said to his disciples in John 14. John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Paul mentions this same topic in Romans chapter 13. Romans 13 and in verse 10, he says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. What is love? Love is to do what God says in the way that God says to do it. That's love. God is love, and following after what God says is love. It means that sometimes, though, if I'm going to love my neighbor, which we all are commanded to do, we got to sometimes point out that our neighbors are in sin. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8 says, for you were formerly darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. It's not enough just not to go along with the world. God wants us to point out that the world is in sin. And yes, there are going to be people who take offense to that. Paul pointed that out in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 11. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. Or some of the translation says that I gave offense by talking about the cross. Yes, you know, the Jews really didn't want anybody talking about the fact that they had Jesus crucified. Think about how many times they told the apostles, stop doing that in Acts. They didn't want it broadcast. They knew they were wrong. What did the apostles do? Continue to talk about it. In our scripture reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, down in verse 10, Paul says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we seek to persuade men. Because I know what it's like to face God in judgment, because I understand what the scriptures teach. I need to persuade people. I need to convert them. And that will require both positive and negative teaching. In 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And starting with verse 1. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Be ready in season when they are willing to hear it, and out of season when they don't want to hear it. But notice the next words, reprove. Show them that they're wrong. Prove that they are wrong. Rebuke, tell them they are wrong. And exhort, encourage them to do what's right. It takes both. Now to Titus, Paul said in Titus chapter 2, and in verse 15, at the end of that chapter, he says, these things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. And that sometimes that's hard, that's tough. Sometimes you have to take a stance and say, this is what's right. And what you're doing is wrong. In fact, in that same letter, if you go back to chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul says this testimony is true, and for this reason they reprove them severely so that they may be sound in the faith. He's talking about the problems that are in the Cretan society. And he tells Titus, reprove them so they can be sound in the faith. See, love demands that we care about what happens to each person that we meet. And we can't be silent. It'll take different approaches with different people. But we have to be someone who is willing to say, you know, this is wrong. This is not right. Here's why it's wrong. Because otherwise people will just continue on in their sins and be completely ignorant. And yet those sins are going to lead them off into internal destruction. We have to love our neighbors that we want them to go to heaven with us. I hope you'll think about these things. Is there anyone here who is not yet a child of God? There's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that's selected today.